Yeah, I used to think the submerged chaos was somewhere in New Jersey. That's true. But no, I don't think that anymore. How can I make a joke? Trying to keep it a little light here, just to help us endure and to bear even the report of this. We're not going to be going through this. We are rescued from indignation. But the report of it, the thought of it, is creepy enough, as I'm going to share with you. The fifth messenger trumpets, and I perceived a star fallen out of heaven into the earth. Now, many expositors think this is Satan. This messenger has a name. It's a hymn. It's a hymn was given the key of the well, the submerged chaos. I must say this first. The Concordant here has submerged chaos. In an earlier version, they had the abyss. And I'm not sure, I actually prefer submerged chaos, just because I like to use it in my everyday speech. I really do. If I don't like traffic in an area, I said, man, this is a submerged chaos. If I am upset with a person, which I never do get upset, I will, you know, send them to the submerged chaos. Unintelligent people will just say, go to hell. I never say that. That's rude, crude. I like people too much. I will send them to the submerged chaos. And they looked at me. They look at me with a curious glance, and it seems like a very terrible place. But then when I tell them it's somewhere in New Jersey, they're not so upset with me. But this must be an instance where the Concordant later found a better translation. So I'm going to go with submerged chaos because that's the latest. But in the book, The Unveiling of Jesus Christ, A. Enoch uses the abyss. Now to get serious again, folks. The fifth messenger trumpets, and I perceived a star fallen out of heaven into earth, and to him was given the key of the well, the submerged chaos. And he opens the well, the submerged chaos. I'm going to tell you in a moment why this cannot be Satan. Cannot be Satan. This is one of the messengers from heaven. True, Satan is in heaven now, but it's not Satan, because simply Satan would not torture his own people, and many of his own people are on earth. And to him was given the key of the well of the submerged chaos, or as an earlier version of the Concordant version puts it, the abyss. And he opens the well of the submerged chaos, and fumes ascended out of the well as the smoke of a large furnace. It's not smoke, it's fumes as smoke. Fumes can be noxious without being literal smoke like you suspect from a fire. The common saying, where there's smoke, there's fire. Well, not, yes, but this isn't smoke. It's as smoke, but it's more specifically described as fumes. And there is a well, there is a deep well into this chaos, this submerged chaos that possibly has something to do with water, but it's a holding place. And the sun and the air are darkened by the fumes of the well. And out of the fumes came out locusts into the earth. I've talked about these locusts before. I did a Crack of Dawn report on the locusts. To me, this is the scariest thing in the unveiling of Jesus Christ. I'm going to get into the locusts. I'm going to describe them because John describes them. Now, the last three trumpets, the woe trumpets, much more descriptive than the first three trumpets, because these things are alive. That's what I should have said yesterday. As I compared inanimate objects to animate objects, the difference between a comet and a locust is that a locust is alive. The difference between hail and fire and a creature that marches and destroys, as in the case we're going to see from the sixth trumpet, is one is inanimate, one is alive. We have locusts in the fifth trumpet. We have a dreadful killing cavalry at the sixth trumpet. But I'm going to take a little while to get through this, because to me, these locusts are fascinating. Satan is often represented as a falling star falling from heaven, but he does not fall from heaven. He is not cast out of heaven until later in the book of the unveiling. And Satan, this is stunning enough for me to tell you that Satan is an instrument used by God. But Satan is not the only instrument used by God for destructive purposes. God himself kills and makes alive. Does he not? He himself inflicts discipline on his people Israel. He may use Satan to do it, but he may also use other spiritual beings. And this is what we're seeing here. This spiritual being who is seen by John falling out of heaven into earth has a name. And the name of this spiritual being is in Hebrew, Abaddon, and in Greek, Apollyon. I'm in verse 11, skipping ahead for now, of chapter 9. This being is called Apollyon. This being is a messenger of God. It is a messenger of Christ. The name Apollyon in Greek means destroyer, from whole, loosing. Those are the three English elements. It is a destroying agent. A destroying agent does not necessarily have to be Satan. Yes, Satan is a destroying agent, yes. But God also dispatches the good guy destroying agents. So there are bad guy destroying agents, such as Satan and his minions, and there are good guy destroying agents, such as Apollyon. Apollyon, when I say that Apollyon is a good guy, I don't mean that you want to knock on his door and sell him Girl Scout cookies. I would just rather step aside and let Apollyon do his work. You know, it's like when you cross the border into Canada. You don't fraternize with the border agents. You just answer yes and no to their questions. You don't ask them, how's your day? How's your mother-in-law? Step out of the car, sir. You just don't bother them. Let them do their thing. They're working for God. Not the border agents. No, they're working for Satan. But the Apollyon and these messengers who are blowing the trumpets are working for God. Even the vultures are working for God because they're going to pick the bones of the corpses that are upon the earth. I told you that the fire is going to cleanse the earth, and the flesh that is going to be laying upon the surface of the earth is going to be picked by the vultures, and somehow it is going to be used as part of the resuscitation of the earth. I know that sounds crazy, but we're looking at a God now. We're looking at a God who says that unless something dies, it remains alone. But if it goes into the earth and dies, it comes forward a new being. The seed, I talked about this 2 weeks ago. The seed is a perfect example. Push it into the earth, it comes forward a amazing flower or a plant, an ear of corn, what have you. Jesus Christ went into the bowels of the earth on the cross. He ended up going into the tomb and out came the resurrected Christ. Likewise with our bodies. So, you know, this the flesh of humankind, as terrible as this is, and I don't say this glibly at all, I'm done with my New Jersey jokes. This is a very serious matter, but I'm telling you, it just occurred to me, the guys from, were they from Uruguay? The soccer team, the rugby team, in the 1970s that was stranded in the Andes. The famous book by Pierce Paul Reed, Alive, was written about them. They survived 72 days, I think, on that mountain in the Andes in freezing temperatures with no food, no life anywhere, by eating the bodies of the dead passengers. The flesh preserved them. There is something sacred about human flesh. We see God wasting it wholesale. We see him even tormenting it, and we figure he doesn't think much of it, but he does. He does. Did he not do this with his son? Something better is going to come of it. Not only will those individuals live again, but God doesn't waste anything. We saw that with the loaves and the fishes. These individuals who are killed in this book, in this very chapter, and in the next, they are going to be raised, but their flesh does not go to waste. It fertilizes the ground. How's that? It fertilizes the ground. I know it sounds crazy. No human can do this. Only God can do it. So Satan is not the only instrument of evil that God uses. Apollyon, this destroyer, is at the head of the horde of locusts. He is in charge of these billions of flying insects that come out of the ground, just like the aliens in War of the Worlds. His very name, again, is Destruction, and that is not identical with Satan. Satan is adversary. Satan's name is adversary. This is a destroyer. Satan, in this unveiling, is the enemy of the saints. So he's not going to be engaged in afflicting his own subjects. There are very few saints around here compared to the population of the earth. And so it's all humanity that is going to be tormented. These are not God-fearing people. They may well become God-fearing people after these trials. Well, actually, they don't. They still don't repent. We'll find out later that even after this torment, they still do not repent of their apostasy. And so the fallen star would, if this is Satan, he's not going to unlock the door of the submerged chaos. He's just not going to do it. Because things have been going swell up to this point on the earth. Well, not exactly up to this point. But the first 3.5 years have seen the man of lawlessness taking the reins and apparently leading the world into peace and plenty, but it doesn't happen. And the locusts, again, are intelligent, and they're ruled by an intelligent being. They cannot touch anyone who has the seal of God on their forehead. So why should Satan torment people who are true to him? These people are true to Satan. These people being tormented by the locusts, as we're going to see in detail, are true to Satan, and he's not going to torment them. That's ridiculous. The fallen star is a messenger of God, this so-called fallen star, this star that is said to be falling out of heaven. It's falling in the sense that it's going from top to bottom. It's just coming down to earth. It's not fallen in the sense that it's a sinner. It's not. We always associate evil with sin. We always associate destruction with sin. We always associate killing with sin. But when God does these things, it's not sin. The sin means to miss the mark. God is not missing the mark in any way, shape, or form here when he sends Apollyon, the chief of the submerged chaos, to release the fumes of that submerged chaos and the living beings that will come out of there to torment humanity. And again, the evil of this, and I don't hesitate to attribute this to God because God attributes it to himself in Isaiah 45:7, is that these beings are like guided missiles. They know their marks, and they're going to look back at you. And I should save this for Monday. Is this Friday? I'm going to save this for Monday. Details on the locus of Revelation. I gave a talk on this topic in Baldwin, Michigan, and it was quite illustrative, and I'm going to explain that to you Monday, what happened in Baldwin, Michigan. And we're going to go into a very detailed analysis of these supernatural beings that are intelligent, that are run by, headed by an intelligence named Apollyon, who is a servant of the ultimate intelligence God, who is sending Apollyon, who is sending the locust to turn the world from its own inglorious, its own proud ways, turn them from that to the ways of God.